Hallelujah. Is it like fire shut up in your bones tonight? Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Has he baptized you with the Spirit and fire? I don't know about you, but you should have been there when I prayed through. The prison cell was on fire, and the Holy Ghost too. Woo! Carl, I'm so thankful, brother. Hallelujah. You don't need somebody to lay hands on you. You see, it was just me and God in that place. It was after an AODA program with Brother Hawk over there. I've been seeking the Holy Ghost. Friday morning, I went in there. I got to praying, holding on to my Bible. I'm so glad Mom's here. I looked up, started praying, started speaking in tongues. Man, I just, woo! It's like, and it's been like fire shut up in my bones. Understand me? Can I get a witness in here? Is it like fire in your bones? This is life and death. You got to take it serious, church. Hallelujah. Woo! Man, Brother Lomax, there's a preaching spirit up here. Church, we're in for it tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome, everybody, to another CIP graduation. Say it with me, church. CIP. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to do it a little bit different tonight. You guys can be seated. If my beautiful sweet pea could come up here. Oh, Annie. Janine's doing the most. Like I said, we're going to do it a little bit different tonight. My wife has a few things that she wants to say. Here you go.
Hello, church. I'm here to really give honor to our staff and to the students here. First of all, big thank you always to the Hawks. They've been our mentors. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the CIP program, it means Christian Intervention Program. We work with individuals who have AODA issues, life issues, and they come to the church an hour before class, an hour before church and have class with us. And we go through the Word of God and we try to minister to their needs. Some of the folks that come here are from the correctional system, and we don't care. We love them. And I love this church. Thank you so much for supporting this program. I hear over and over again from the inmates, like, everyone's so nice here. They don't care. And, you know, they see the bracelet and they don't care. They just treat me like a normal person, and it's so nice. So I really appreciate you opening your hearts to this program. Thank you so much for your support. Could I have all of our staff, current staff, please stand? And please stay standing. Please stay standing. I just wanted to say from the bottom of my heart and from Noah's as well, thank you for giving up your Sundays. Some of you biweekly, some of you more than that. I'm just in awe of your dedication, of how much you try to get to know the students in the class and giving up your personal time and even some of your service time. And I really, really appreciate it. And Noah and I both, we just appreciate your dedication so, so much. So thank you. You can sit down now. And we don't often do this, but I would also like to say a big thank you to the students here. It's not an easy thing to get in and out of the jail. It's not like they just check you out. It's a process. And we thank you for coming. And I don't know if you feel it, but I just want you to know this church loves you. And we want you here, and we appreciate you. And now we have a special presentation, and I don't know if I'll get through this without crying, and I know this person is not going to be happy with me for doing this, but too bad. We would like to honor a very special person on our CIP staff. She's been here since the beginning. She's been here before I was born. And I would like to honor Grandma Jan. Woo! Jan. Come up here, Grandma Jan.
I know.
She just called me a stinker. So, nope. So you may be seated. For those of you that don't know, this is Grandma Jan. Sometimes she's Aunt Jan to people. This woman is probably the most faithful person I've ever met, and I want to be just like her when I grow up. Just like her. And she's retired now, but I'm telling you, this woman spends 30 to 40 hours a week helping people find jobs, helping people find a place to live. Your kids that aren't coming to church anymore, she's calling them and asking them out to lunch and befriending them. And I don't know of a better Christian. And what I love about her is she's so cool, and sometimes she makes these really funny jokes, and they're so funny. And we'll sit in the back and just laugh. And she's like, "Don't tell anyone." I said, "I'm like, I won't." So she's cool. Like, she's your cool Grandma Jan. And I can't tell you, there's some students here that that have graduated in long past and just came just to see Grandma Jan, because she makes an impact on people. And people have gone from this program and have graduated and become AODA counselors and keep in touch with Grandma Jan. And we don't say it enough, but you do so much, and you're always sitting back there checking the students in, and we love you so much, and we appreciate you so much.
I just want to say thank you, and for every hour, every second I put in with CIP, it's been a bigger blessing to me. Many of you have heard my testimony. Part of it I'm not proud of, but I am so thankful for CIP. I don't know where I'd be today if I had gone down the bitterness trail any further, and I'm so glad that CIP was a vital part in pulling me out of one of the toughest times of my life. And as long as I've got the strength and energy, I want to continue to work in this program, because it does mean a lot to me. I've never been in jail, so I can't relate. But I can care, and I love each one of you students. And I'm so proud of you for your desire to come, and even when things are rough, you still keep coming. Keep up the good work.
And thank you again, church, for your continued support. If you want to be involved in CIP, if you want to know more about the program, if you know someone that you're close to that's struggling with AODA issues, please let us know. We have openings from cooking meals, driving buses, teaching the class, or just being a mentor or a friend to one of our students. We would love anyone to be involved on any level, so thank you so much.
Hallelujah. That's a soldier right there. I don't know, you know, as my wife and I got this thing, and I know, same thing with you, Brother Hawk. Grandma Jan is the glue. Like, seriously. Grandma Jan, I love you. You're so awesome. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. So, now on to the graduation portion of this. We have a very special graduate tonight. We do only just have one tonight. And it's, we're kind of like in the middle, if you will, of the cycle. It doesn't matter. We're gonna have fun, and we're gonna recognize her either way. No matter what, we're gonna try and embarrass her as much as we can. But Jessica Atkins has been a very awesome, hallelujah. Come on up here. Woo! Come up here. Jessica Atkins has been a very much an awesome part of this program. She came through the program with the intentions of helping. It's the prerequisite to, if you want to be involved in the ministry, you need to know about the ministry. You need to know what we talk about. You need to know what's going on. And she did that, and we're so thankful. We're thankful that Jessica is here. We're thankful that the Buchholz has invested time in her, and that we have Jessica Atkins here. I mean, praise God.
So I just want to say, I just want to share a little bit about myself and then give a little testimony that I had this week. So like Noah said, the Buchholzes, they have been very, very supportive of me throughout, you know, the start of me coming here, and I just appreciate them so, so much. I remember the first Bible study I had, Derek was teaching. We skipped all the way to lesson seven, and it was a baptism, and I was like, I need to know more about this. And I remember, you know, he was teaching me. We were going through the scriptures, and I was just like, whoa, I need to do this. This is necessary for me to be saved. I've got to have this. And that night, I think it was like a big snowstorm. I was like, I got to get baptized, and I don't care if there's a snowstorm. We're going, and we're doing it. And I did it. And it was the most amazing experience that I could tell you, and I'm sure lots of other, you know, people here can tell you if you haven't been baptized. You should, and it is an amazing experience. And then when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, it's just so amazing, that feeling that you get when he just comes and he is that living water inside of you. It is just totally, totally amazing. And I just want to say, share a little bit of the testimony that happened this week. My stepfather was being tested for Alzheimer's. Did I say my stepmother? I think I meant stepfather. Yes. Okay. I'm really, really nervous. My heart is beating and I'm like shaking. And so he was going through tests to see if he had Alzheimer's. And this past week, I mean, he's been going through tests for years. And this week we just got the diagnosis that he doesn't have it.
Praise God. Praise God.
And we just give God all the glory. I mean, we've been praying and praying. They came here when Brother Bustard was here, and they, you know, prayed over him. He got very emotional when they came, and it was on my birthday, actually, when the Olivers were here. They both, you know, my mom and my stepdad were both baptized in Jesus' name and got the Holy Ghost. And not very long after that, I mean, it's been almost a year since then, but he is healed, and it is just so amazing. Whatever your need is, it doesn't matter if it's healing, if it's, you know, financial situations, if you are struggling with a relationship, if you are struggling with something in your life, God is here, and I can tell you because I've experienced what's out there, and it is nothing compared to what's in here. What you are going to feel in here and, at, you know, during worship service or during a Bible study or during, you know, the preaching, there is just nothing like this that you are going to find out there. And I just wanted to share that with you guys. You know, I was really nervous about coming up here and speaking to y'all because I'm pretty shy and reserved. But those who know me don't think that at all. Like, they're just like, oh, you're just Jessica and you're very outgoing and tra-la-la-la, but no, I feel like I'm always, you know, very shy and reserved, and so I just wanted to share that with y'all, and I love you guys. You know, you guys are, you know, have become my church family, and I just want to say I love you and appreciate you all of you that are here, guests, everyone, so thank you, and praise God.
Amen. Amen. Congratulations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We serve a prayer-answering God. Alzheimer's ain't nothing for God. Cancer ain't nothing for God. There ain't no illness, sickness, or disease. It ain't nothing for God. Amen? Hallelujah. Cast your cares on Him. All right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tracy, how's your throat? It's all right? Did you pray about it? All right. We're going to pray about it again. Before service, Tracy, I said, how you doing, brother? He said, man, my throat hurts. I said, speak to that thing. Let's speak to it with him right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, we speak to that sore throat, Jesus. Every single need matters, God. Just like Alzheimer's, God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch Tracy's throat right now in Jesus' name, God. Make him whole, Lord. He wants to worship you. Devil, you're a liar. You ain't taking that boy's voice away. He wants to worship God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Let's have church. All right. We have a very special guest here tonight. I don't know about you guys, but every time I get around Brother Lomax, I can't do anything but smile, give him a hug, and start praising Jesus. The man was preaching in Minnesota just a couple hours ago. If that shows you his dedication to the Word of God and to the preaching, to this gospel, just a couple of hours ago, he didn't even know he was going up there to show support to his daughter. Pastor asked him, can you preach? What did you say? Yes, sir, I can. Amen. So we're going to have Brother Lomax bring the word tonight. If we could stand, give him a hand. Brother Lomax. Woo! Come and bring that word, brother. Bring that word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all you, baby. There's a preaching spirit up here.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Somebody clap your hands and give God the best praise you have on tonight. Woo! Come on, somebody shake up the kingdom of heaven and let the devil know you don't have the victory. Woo! My, 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 I feel a shout in this place. Somebody shout, glory! Somebody shout, glory! Woo! All right, all right, all right. Have your seats. I'm gonna do something that we don't normally do, but I'm going to ask one of my daughters. I know everybody knows Ember. But I've got another daughter that God has blessed, and she is a beautiful singer, and we're asking God to bless her the more. So at this time, I'm going to ask Sister Kimber Lomax to come and sing. Let's receive her by saying amen.
Just ask that you pray for me in Jesus' name.
There is none like you. You, no one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity, Lord, and I'll find there is none like you. There is none like you. You, no one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity, Lord, and I'll find there is none. There is none. There is none like you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. 'Cause I never know how much it costs to see my sins up on that cross. See, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins up on that cross. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. 'Cause I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins up on that cross. See, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins up on that cross.
Somebody give God a hand praise. Somebody give God a hand praise. Here we are to worship you, Lord. And I really will never know what it cost. I will never really know. One more time, let's just magnify the name of Jesus. As you prepare and I prepare to let the Lord use us here and us all to receive of God's word, we will be preaching from out of the book of Acts, the 27th chapter. We honor the Lord, our God, for his loving kindness and his mercy. I thank God for being so sovereign in my life that even approximately 6 years ago, I didn't know I would be here in Madison. But the Lord spoke it into my spirit that this is the assignment I've called you to. So I'm here standing before you. Didn't even know how it was going to come to be. But here I am in the year 2015, standing in the pulpit here at Calvary Gospel Church, speaking God's word. So I want to say to somebody, God's purpose in your life. He knows how to bring you to the place where you can be where he said you're going to be one day. So I want you to receive that first, that God's purpose is in your life. And when you say yes to God, God knows how to get you where he's got purpose for you to be. So I do honor the Lord for his sovereignty in my life. I honor our pastor here, Pastor Roy Grant. Let's give God a hand praise for this man of God. I can publicly and honestly say to everyone that I really feel like he's been a friend to me And I told him, because I'm willing to submit myself, I look at him as my pastor until we get to the place where God has moved us into our own worship on Sunday. So, Pastor Roy, I salute you, sir. Praise the Lord. And to Lady Grant, amen, we salute you also, sister. Praise the Lord. I love you. Thank God for the fellowship and the kind words and the things you've done for me and my wife, just to show us that we love you and we love you back in Jesus' name. Amen. And to the whole household of faith, we say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord one more time. Amen. So we will be going into the book of Acts, and in the 27th chapter, we'll start at verse 31. And we are going to read down to verse 36, and then we'll go to verse 41 to verse 44, and that is in the book of Acts, the 27th chapter. I'll read, amen, I think he's going to post it, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm just loving this board here. It makes it so much better for folks that don't see well. Thank you, Jesus. And I'll read, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these, abide in the ship. Ye cannot be saved. Then the soldier cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the heads of any of you. Thank you, Jesus. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Thank you, Jesus. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Amen. Let's go to verse 41. Thank you, Jesus. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the foreparts stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder parts were broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And for a subject tonight, I'd like to use making it on broken pieces. Making it on broken pieces. I am a firm believer that everybody in some capacity is broken. I am a firm believer that everybody in some capacity is broken. There is nothing that any of us have chosen to do that would make us to say we're not broken. Because we understand from Romans 3 and 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nobody in this room that can state their claim to that I ain't been there. That's not true. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God gives his law to us that it might be a reflection of his character. I teach at Word of Life that sin is missing the mark. I see some of the folks from Word of Life lipping it when I say it, because I believe you ought to teach as an apostolic preacher against sin. I don't think you should be an apostolic preacher and don't take some time to let folks know that the reason why you're in trouble is because of sin in your life. And then I just identify it simplistically, and I do it for this reason, because if you get too complex, some folks will get confused. No, the truth of the matter is you're just missing the mark in your life. But our God is so gracious and so kind that he's always seeking. He's seeking those that would desire to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because God loves me. Come on, somebody. Because God loves me. I don't care what it is I've done in my lifetime. God's able to lift me up out of my muck and my mire. Come on, somebody. I don't know what it is that you've done in your lifetime, but I come to tell you, if it wasn't for God's saving grace, my God, we have to remember. Somebody hear me. You have to remember. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3 and 4, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wheresoever committed sin against transgresseth against the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And remember, I told you that the law is the reflection of God's character. But man, because his character is not like God's character, the Bible tells me and you that we were shapen in iniquity and in sin did our mother and father conceive us. You couldn't help it. You was born a sin baby. I know they say you was a bundle of joy, but the truth was you was a bundle of sin. We were sin babies. God gave us life, but the truth of the matter was you was all jacked up from the very beginning. I ain't talking to the rich man or the poor man. I'm talking to all men. Everybody that's in this room that's breathing breath in and out, you was a big bundle of a sin, baby. I don't care whose house you came out of, how wealthy they were, what they had when you got here. You were a sin baby. Yes, you were. Yes, you were. And I defy anyone to stand up and say, not me. I'll know then we need to pray on you. You were a sin baby just like I was. It didn't have anything to do with where I come from or who was my mama or who was my daddy. Because, you know, I got some brothers and sisters, too. And we ain't all got the same mama and we ain't got the same daddy. But that's only sin working in their life like it was working in mine. Come on, somebody. But God, who is rich, y'all better hear me. He's rich in mercy. You think Donald Trump and them got some money? They ain't got no money. My God has the cattle on a thousand hills. You better hear me. It's nothing you should desire or want that does not allow God to have first priority in your life. Yes, whatever it is, if you let God work on you, God will bring you to where he got a purpose in your life. And the only thing that brings separation between you and I is sin. Somebody shout, stop sinning. In Isaiah, the 59th chapter, the second verse, I'm waiting on you. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. The only thing that's troubling your life, if your life is so troubled where you can't figure out, what am I doing wrong? Look at the sin in your life. I said we apostolic, so if I say sin 100 times tonight, nobody will be, I'm so sick of him talking about somebody, I'll be like, preach against sin, preacher. The Bible told the preacher to cry loud and spare not. Show the people their transgressions and their sin. If you want pie in the sky, you got to get on an airplane, because on earth we're going to talk against sin. Oh, somebody shout glory in this house. But God wants to do something with you and I. And what he's trying to do most of all is bring deliverance into your life. I told him this morning in Minnesota, I said, some of y'all are farmers and some of y'all out in the country. I'm a city boy. But those that might have lived out in the country, when you put together all the garbage and everything, you'll set it afire. Because you don't have garbage disposal service. In the city, the garbage man come by, pick it up, and dump it for you. But out in the woods, you got to dump your own garbage and then take a match to it. But the Bible says that he saved us. Come on, somebody. And what he did when he saved us was he went to that pile of garbage, because everybody that's not going to be saved is sitting in a pile right now.
waiting on hell to come get them, where he going to push them off into the lake of fire. That's what you do with your garbage. Ain't that how you do it? You have that pile of garbage, and you set it on fire, or you put the flame retardant thing there, and then you throw a little liquid on it, and then you put a little match to it, and it's consumed. And that's how God's going to deal with the sinner. But when God saw you and I, the sinner, he stopped by the pile and said, I can do something with that piece of garbage. My God, did you hear what I said? He looked at the pile and he said, I could do something with this piece of garbage. So God, in his infinite wisdom, he reached down. And God, because he's a workman himself, he wrapped himself in flesh, y'all. He came on in and he looked in the pile and he saw the ones that thought they was fine, and he threw them back on the side. But he took the one that was broken, because the Bible says, he that is whole need not a physician, but the one that's broken and downtrodden, God sees him and her, and he grabs him at the pile, and he looks them over and say, they ain't worth much, but let me breathe on them. And God will breathe on them. And God will breathe on you. Next thing you know, we say, look what the Lord have wrought, and it's marvelous in our eyes. God will take that piece of nothing, and he'll bang all the little dents out of it and take his holiness and rub and rub. I said, and rub. I said, and rub. And all of a sudden, you'll see his glory in your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. So God knows how to make us what he wants us to be. But you got to be willing to let God be God. If you are willing to let God be God, he'll bring you out. Hello, somebody. But the problem is that we don't recognize the fact that the enemy of our soul, he comes but to do a few things. And the Bible says in St. John 10:10, thank you, Lord. The devil, the thief. I said the devil. I said the devil. And the Bible called him a thief. And if you ever sitting or near a thief, you always watching out for him. But the Bible says that the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus then says, but I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it what? More. Somebody shout, give me more, Lord. No, that didn't sound like you want more. Somebody shout, Lord, give me more. Somebody shout, Lord, give me some more. I know it's true. I know it's true. The Bible said that Esau and Jacob, because even in the womb, they wanted to be more. Y'all ain't get that part. In the womb of their mother, they wrestled because the first one out would be more. Come on, somebody. The devil got kicked out of heaven because he wanted to be. But why won't you want to be more in God then? That's why I said, somebody shout, Lord, give me more. Somebody shout, Lord, give me more. Ain't nothing wrong with more in Jesus, y'all. Ain't nothing wrong with that. If you in Jesus, why not have more? He said he come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So in Christ Jesus, it ain't nothing wrong with you wanting more. It's nothing in Christ. He'll take that which is nothing, sanctify it, and it'll become something special and great in him. So the Bible says that these men, and don't forget, I want to make a point here too, because it's important. God had already spoken to Paul and told him, you must go before Caesar. I want to tell everybody tonight that if God has made you any promises, did you hear me? I said, if God has made you any promises, you can't leave this earth till it come to pass. That's something to give God praise about. If God has given you any promises, if God has given you any promises, Lord, you promised me a mate. You can't leave here till you have had that mate God promised you. If God has promised you, you gonna speak for him. You can't leave here. I don't care if you're going to nursing home. That's the only place you speak. Has not God fulfilled his promise? But God, having infinite wisdom, he allows the man of God, the Apostle Paul, to end up on a ship. And God knows that Paul, being a man led of God and full of wisdom, he declares to his captor, we might should stick around and not go no further because of the season. And I come to tell you tonight that God does have a season for your life. But you gotta be listening to God's voice. Because as God speaks, he's speaking to make sure you hear him and you obey. My God, God wants obedience more than he even wants a sacrifice. That's why we come to church and we look for the word of God to speak so that we might know how to honor God's will. And if you listen for God's voice, God will direct your path. And if you come to the house of God, the house of God is the place where his voice is spoken the loudest. Where there's confusion in your life, get to the house of God. Where there's pain in your life, get to the house of God. Where there's brokenness in your life, get to the house of God. Where there's trouble in your life, get to the house of God. Before you get to the emergency room, stop by the house of God. Before you go to the divorce court, stop by the house of God. Come on, somebody. Before you make a decision, stop by the house of God. Paul declares to his captors, we should stick around, y'all. Let's not go too far. The weather ain't right. The timing just ain't right. But because of the greed within those that held him captive, they decided they were going to launch out and go anyway. And because they went anyway, trouble arose. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever had trouble arise? And the Bible said that trouble had arose so much so to those that were with Paul. Because don't you know, some folks are suffering because of some of my decisions. Get enough folks seeing me. I said, don't you know some folks are living out their pains because of your decisions? Your decisions. Your decisions. Your decisions. But look how God's mercy is working through the man of God. That's why I like being with folks that got the power. Pastor Roy, I don't want to be with nobody that's fakey shaky. I want to be with somebody that's got an anointing in their life that's able to destroy yokes. I could come to them and ask them, pray for me. And when they get through praying for me, I feel the burden has been lifted. Somebody shout, glory! I'm so grateful that God will lift a burden. And he'll not only lift your burdens, he'll give you joy unspeakable. So the Bible says that the Apostle Paul, he tells them, maybe we should stick around here where we already docked at. Because if we stick around where we docked at, we'll be safe. But if we go out here, it's trouble a brewing. And I come to tell somebody, if you stick around the house, you'll be safe. But if you leave out of here, trouble is a brewing. They used to say there's a storm out over the ocean and it's moving this way. And if your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. So I come to tell the church tonight, stay on board, because on board there's safety in this house. Somebody shout hallelujah. So Paul tells them, he says, look, don't do it. But they decide to go against the counsel of the man of God. Now the man of God is on a boat that's destined to be doomed. But something about the man of God that gives him a mind to say, I will pray, though. I ain't gonna leave my fate in your hands. Come on here. I won't let you be the reason for my demise. When God told me yes and the devil saying no, I'm going to stop and I'm going to begin to pray and say, Lord Jesus, you told me in 1995 that I would live and I would not die, but the devil's trying to cause death to come into my life. But whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord, for in him I live, in him I move, and in him I have my being. Don't you let the devil trick you. that he got more power than God. He ain't got no power. That ain't nothing but fake power. God is the true authority. God can speak to the winds and the waves, and they will be still. He can tell it to shut up, and it'll shut down. But I come to tell the church of the living God that sometimes your circumstances cause situations to be not as you would like, but they would be in ways that make you say, how did I end up in this mess? How did I, Lord, hold it. How did I, when all I was trying to do was your will? How did I, when all I was trying to do is what I've been told? How did I, Lord, end up in this predicament when all I did was trust and believe what you told me to do? You said go, I went. You told me to stop, I stopped. You told me to turn around and go back and check it out again. I stopped, turned around, and checked it out again. And all of a sudden, I'm in a storm. Y'all better hear me because God's speaking in the midst of us. And now because I am in a storm, you've made me have to do something that I told you from the beginning shouldn't have had to be. But because I didn't let you, or you didn't listen to God when he spoke to me, because he's gave me wisdom, now you're in a heck of a mess. And that mess that you're in is about to bring destruction. Come on here. And that destruction that's coming into the lives of people is because of disobedience to the will of God. But the will of God is still great enough that if somebody takes some time out and get down on your knees and say, Lord, please, Lord, have mercy. Lord, I know the axe is moving, but would you spare them? Somebody shout glory in the house. The mess that's in that place is because of disobedience. But my God, who is rich in mercy, somebody shout, thank you for your mercy. Yes, because you married and the pastor told you don't do it. There's a mess in your house. You went and did something after leadership told you don't do it. I know folks don't want to hear this. And they went and did stuff after their mother and their father said, son or daughter, please don't do it. It won't be in your favor. And you said, that's old. This new stuff we doing. But then you looked up one day and found out there was a storm in your life. Somebody say, Lord, cover me. I got a few more minutes, Pastor. They told us not to do it, y'all. They would even tell you, where I come from, in Chicago, they tell you, don't walk down 108th Street. Them some bad boys on 108th. But you thought you was badder than the boys on 108th. And the reason you thought that, because you thought you could whoop anybody. Some folks might not know about that, but some folks in here know what I'm talking about. You thought you could whoop everybody. And you think you can whoop the devil without God. Hello, do that relate better to you? You think you can beat the devil without any anointing, without no consecration, without no sanctification. And you're wondering why it's such a shipwreck. But I come to tell you that the people of God, and who Paul said, and whom I serve, has declared to me that no life shall be lost if you just stay on this ship. I come to tell Calvary Gospel that the ship of Zion is going forward. The ship of Zion may be having some trouble. The ship of Zion might not be everything that you think it ought to be. You know, on Noah's Ark, they had all them stinking animals, but it was safer in the ark with them stinking animals than out there in the flood. Somebody shout glory. In the house of God, there is safety. Folks want to run out. I tell you, the hardest trouble for the young people. I used to be a youth leader, so I can talk to y'all. The young people's greatest struggle is marching up Zion's highway and looking back at destruction And I come to tell you, you got to make up your mind. Is it God or is it the world? And one day God's going to put you to the test. And my question is, are you going to make it or are you not going to make it? Because it don't take but one time. And the Bible told us that God's spirit shall not always strive with a man. And I come to tell Calvary, some of you are tussling, but you're tussling to get away from God. When God said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your weariness. But you are troubled in your mind. You are doubting what God's saying because the world is in one ear and the church is in the other. But I stopped by to tell you that though it looked like, it may look like we're struggling, but we got the victory in the church of the living God. And the devil is a loser and I am a winner. Don't let my size fool you. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It's all about him. Anybody got the victory in the house? Woo! Feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody got victory beyond their uniform. You think it's the clothes, but it's the power. You think it's the voice, but it's the holiness. You think it's your righteousness when it's Christ's righteousness. When my mother and my father forsake me, y'all better hear me because some folks think it's about your mama and it's about your daddy. It's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Have your seats. Have your seats. We almost done. We almost done. Please give me another 5-10 minutes. Somebody in the house, if you're not afraid, just shout, I know I'm broken. I'm walking around because somebody first need to see you broke. You messed up. You're not where you need to be. And anybody that think you where you ought to be, my Bible, and I believe the rest of our Bible said, let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to. For it is God that worketh in you and I to will and to do that which is his good pleasure. And I come to tell the church that if you think because of where you come from, it has anything to do with your lack of brokenness. But you're broken if you ain't lied but one time. And I've lied 1,000 times. We broken just the same. I don't care if you slept with one person out of wedlock and I've slept with 25. You're broken just the same. I don't care if you only stole $2 and I stole 2,000. You're broken just the same. I don't care what you've done. You're broken. And I want you to hear tonight that you and I all need the ship that we're on. You and I all need the word that Paul gave to them. If you just believe with us, if you just believe with me, you can make it home on some broken pieces. But the trouble I find is that folks think that if they would just jump off, they'll survive without us. But the word says we got to stay together. We got to stick together. We got to believe together. If one can chase 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. Anybody believing with me that God, hallelujah, that God's going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I can ask or think. I'm waiting, waiting on my transformation. I'm waiting on my deliverance. I'm waiting because if I just stay in here, if the ship be destroyed, I'm going to make it home yet still. And I'm going to make it on broken pieces. I won't look down at you, because if I do, it's something wrong with me. But I will look and live, for my joy is in the Holy Ghost. For my peace is in his righteousness. For my deliverance is in his name. My healing is because of the blood that Jesus shed. Way back, somebody say way back on Calvary's cross, and I will trust in the Lord. I will believe till the day I die. I won't let nothing separate me. I said, I won't let nothing. I'm done. But I tell you one more thing. If you want all God got for you, Paul said that they ate. I guess that's why we pray before we get a word. Because the Bible said he blessed the word or the food, and then he gave it to them. And not only did they eat, the Bible said they were glad. If you don't know how to receive the word with gladness, did y'all hear what I said? The word comes. The Bible says God will send his word and heal us and save us from our destruction. I come to tell everybody in this house that we can make it on broken pieces. We can make it. My God, only if you knew how many struggles your brother and your sister going through. But I believe God gave us this text, Pastor, so that we would know if we just believe with each other. The ship might take a beating. And if the ship be destroyed and you just stay on board, the Bible said no life. I'm not teaching eternal security. Don't you mess with me. What I'm telling you is, if you can receive the word from the pastor when he's telling you, just hear and receive and eat this word. I'm talking the word of life too. If you could just get to the point where when the word is spoken, you will eat it. And the Bible said, eat the whole roll. All of it. It may not seem like it's profiting. But I hear the word saying, he that endureth until the end. Come on, Pastor Roy, you can have it. We're going to make it home, y'all. We're going to make it home on broken pieces. But I'm going to stay on the ship. Pray for me in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand clap. Thank you, Brother Lomax. Thank you for speaking to us tonight. I don't know about you, church, but he spoke to me tonight. I was broken. I still am broken. And these broken pieces need to stay right here. There's nothing out there in that world that's appealing to me. There's nothing more important than what's going on right here. This is where you hear God the strongest. There's too many distractions out there. The devil knows your weakness. If you're broken tonight, you're broken to pieces, I'm inviting you to come. Come to this altar. If you have pain, suffering, if your life is busted up, Come forward tonight and pray. If you need a healing tonight, come forward and pray. One other thing, if you know somebody that needs a healing, you can stand in the gap for that person tonight. I believe that. That through your prayers tonight, that person can be healed. Where is Jessica? The Alzheimer's. Through your prayers, he was delivered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Delivered. Deliverance is here. Joy.